have Daniel and three friends taken captive from Israel into Babylon. And one of the first things that happened was that the three friends were thrown into a pit of fire because they would not worship the Nebuchadnezzar at the time. And then when they looked in, there was a fourth man in the pit with them. And so they were brought out. They received high position in the land after that. Then the next thing was that some of the other chief magicians and all that kind of stuff in the land came up with get rid of Daniel, because Daniel had interpreted dreams. The king had had that he wouldn't even tell anybody what it was. And Daniel came and told him what the dream was, gave him the interpretation of it. So Daniel was promoted to third rank in the nation. And so now we come to the situation where, after that king had died, his son had taken over, and then he's throwing a party for about 1,000 of his friends and guests and all. And right in the midst of the party, suddenly his hand appears and starts writing on the wall. And let it be known that the nation was about to fall, but not only that, that the king was going to die. And that very night, he died. So, that kind of brings us up to date on where we are here tonight, on chapter 9. And if someone would begin read, is anything else anybody wants to say, any questions anybody has about where we've been so far?
Well, Daniel had a vision too.
Yes.
Before he was giving what his interpreting others, mm-hmm. but now this one mm-hmm. came to him.
Right.
So it's kind of going on from there, I think.
He did say it emphatically too. He said, and I, Daniel, even I had a vision. He
right.
made it known as I've been interpreting everybody else's stuff. But this was one of my own, and I don't really know what the deal on it is.
Yeah.
And so he had to, an angel had to be sent to give him the interpretation. Okay. All right, chapter 9, if someone will begin.
In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus.
There you go. Way to go.
The Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem.
Okay, so here's the thing, and Daniel lived around the same time as Jeremiah.
Where did Daniel live?
Anybody know?
Babylon.
Huh? Yes.
Where did Jeremiah live?
Anybody?
In Jerusalem.
Yeah.
So
they were co-prophets.
Mm-hmm.
All this was in two different groups of people. It was the Jews, but one group was in Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
the other was in
Babylon
mm-hmm. being disciplined. Of course, in Jerusalem, they were being disciplined because they were not prospering either.
Right.
So you have this, he reads something Jeremiah says, and he realizes the time is at hand.
And the good thing about it is the fact that they believed each other's prophecies.
Yes.
You know, not a lot of times you get people where they think, hey, I'm God's man. So, you know, they don't want to hear what anybody else has to say. But they did take note of the word that God had given to the other one. Okay. And he said that it would take how long for this trouble that Israel was having, I mean, Jerusalem was having, how long was it going to be?
70 years.
70 years that they were going to have to suffer.
Why did God choose 70 years?
Completion.
Pardon?
Completion.
It could be completion, but that's really not why he chose it.
Is that a generation?
Pardon?
Is that a generation?
Nope, that's not why.
Did they live longer than 70?
The reason God gave them 70 years is they had 70 years that they did not leave the land lie like he told them they were supposed to. So he made them be in captivity 1 year for every year they didn't obey his law and let the land rest.
Yep.
So that's how God chose the 70 years.
Amen. Okay. So then what happens after that? Verse 3.
Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth,
and that's a nasty word. Do you hear that word? Fasting. Oh my
yes.
goodness.
Okay.
That's okay. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him. And with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity, and we have done wickedly and rebelled, even.
I like the promise that God gives those who keep his commandments.
Yes.
There is a blessing to doing life God's way.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, when it says, to those who keep his commandments and so on and so forth, his mercies are upon them.
Amen.
Them that love him. So it's a glorious thing to serve God.
Mm-hmm. You see here, the first thing that steps up is the fact that Daniel is standing in for the entire nation, making intercession for the entire nation. And he is praying,
mm-hmm.
making supplications. What's that?
That's missing supper, isn't it?
Huh? That's when you actually get into a real, almost like a begging mode.
Yeah.
For what you're a pleading mode with God. And even fasting. Taking off his regular clothes and dressing in sackcloth.
To humble himself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Hooray, hooray.
And then he prayed to God and did what? Make confession. See, a lot of times we want to pray, but we don't want to confess to nothing that we've done wrong. We just want to ask God for help. We want to ask God for blessing. But Daniel made confession to God. And then he...
Yeah, were his confessions for his sin?
Well, he's going to tell us in a little bit. Okay. He praised God. Said he was great and awesome. That he keeps his covenant and has mercy on those who love him. On those who keep his commandments. So that was the thing that he made known. That, Lord, you aren't doing this for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
You keep your covenant.
Yeah.
With those that love you and keep your commandments. But what is the problem? Why are they having all this trouble then?
We have sinned.
Mm-hmm. Say what? Who?
It says we have sinned and committed iniquity.
We, even though we haven't read anything that Daniel has done wrong up to this point, in bringing it before God, he says, we have sinned and committed iniquity. So he's not trying to act like I don't have any part of this. I am a part of this nation.
That's it. Right there.
So because I'm a part of this nation, and the nation has sinned, we have sinned, okay, and done wickedly and rebelled. Wow. Even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. So he's specific about how they've missed. How they messed up, okay?
Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land.
Okay, now when he started this off, why did he say that he was bringing this forth? What was the something that had occurred that inspired him to bring this prayer forth? What had he heard?
The vision about the end of times.
He had heard a word from the Lord, back
yes.
up to verse 2.
Through Jeremiah.
Okay? And it says here that as their the people, neither have we heeded the words of your servants, the prophets. The rest of the people weren't listening to the prophets. But Jeremiah, the reason he's offering this prayer is because of what he heard from a prophet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. All right.
O Lord, righteousness belongs to you,
mm-hmm.
but to us shame of face.
Mm-hmm.
It is this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, who near and those far off in all countries to which you have driven them because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you.
Mm.
O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you.
Again.
To the Lord.
Why? Why is all this happening to them? Because we have sinned. He's not trying to exclude himself. He's the whole package here. We have sinned against you. So that's why this is happening to us.
To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have now obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he has set before us by his servants, the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed as to not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him.
Okay, let me ask a question. When he says that to you, Lord our God, belongs mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against you. Can we look at America? Is there any way that we can say the same thing, that Lord, you have shown us mercy, even though we have sinned and rebelled against you? You have shown mercy. I know I am extremely grateful to God.
Yes.
For the mercy that he has
yes.
shown us as a people. Because we've got some crazy stuff going on.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
But he has shown us mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled. Mm-hmm. Anybody else got any comment you want to make on that?
I think we need to realize that when we are a part of a nation, when they sin, it becomes partially our responsibility
yes.
too.
Yes.
And that Daniel's taking that kind of responsibility.
Yes.
And it's important that we intercede for our nation.
Amen.
Because we're going to pay the consequences too.
Mm-hmm.
And if we will repent and humble ourselves, then God will pour out his mercy.
Yes.
Because we can't do right unless he empowers us to.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
We are just natural sinners. I mean, I am, the rest of you guys. And so it's by God's grace, which is his desire and ability, is the only way that we can live upright lives.
Amen.
So it's important that we acknowledge our sin as a nation, as well as any sins that are personal.
Amen. Amen.
And boy, our nation has definitely had gone astray in lots of areas, for sure.
Amen. Anyone else? Okay.
He has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges, who judged us by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the whole heaven, such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What has been done to Jerusalem as a nation? I mean, in Jerusalem as a country, and then Israel as a nation, the things have been done to them. He said this has never happened anywhere on earth before. Why? Because they were God's special people. They were being blessed by God in so many ways. And then this is how they turned to God in respect for that which God has done for them. And that's why all of these things, they are reeking, being turned over to slavery in Babylon and all these other troubles that they're having. He said, under the whole heaven, never has such a thing been done as what has been done to Jerusalem.
Well, I can't imagine what kind of vile sin that they were involved in.
No. It had to be, because even with Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, we know there was some vile stuff going on there. But the punishment here, but once again, these were God's people. They had prophets of God that were speaking God's words to them and giving them what they should and should not do. And still, they decided to do what they want to do anyway. So
I can't pronounce it, but the leader in Israel now that begins with an N.
I can't pronounce it.
But is he a Christian?
No.
I don't know that he's a Christian. I think that he believes in Yahweh, but I don't think he believes in so much in Jesus. I don't know for sure.
Netanyahu? I believe he's a Christian.
Okay.
He wrote a book.
Okay.
And Pat Robertson?
Yeah.
Gave it away to the people who donated and so on and so forth. And
okay.
What the interviews I've heard with him and what I've read in the book, I believe he's actually a Christian.
Praise God. Yeah, that's good news. Yes.
I believe he is.
Okay.
If not, he sure has a respect for Jehovah.
Okay.
Because
that's what I'm saying, yeah.
I think it's great, you know, that a leader of a nation is a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
That helps in what he says and the way he lives for his people under him.
Yeah.
Take note.
And especially for Israel. Yes.
But do you realize Netanyahu in the last week has been to the prayer wall several times? I would say at least once a day.
Mm-hmm.
But there, and he even told what he wrote on the paper for a prayer. And so you find him going and praying to Jehovah.
You're right. Because he was even talking about his family and all, prayers for his family and all. Yes.
Yeah.
That they would all return to him. Did say to Jesus too. Say Jesus, Yeshua.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. All right.
As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayers before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truths. Therefore the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice.
Wow.
So what do you think he's saying? If they had turned from what they were doing, you think God would still have been mad at them and still punishing them? Well, no, oh, no, we got to wait until this whole time is up. No, he said, we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept this disaster in mind and brought it upon us. So there is a chance that if they had repented and turned, that God would have shown even more mercy upon them. Okay?
And now, O Lord, our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name as it is this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountains, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us.
So you see what he is making sure that he's doing in his prayer here. What is he making sure of?
He's praying for the nation.
Yes, he's praying for the nation. And
telling it all.
And where is the blame going for what's happening?
All of them.
that we, it's our fault, we brought this upon ourselves.
Isn't that good?
Huh?
Somebody actually taking responsibility.
Yes. Yes. Yes, and not that God, you know, just had a high temper and just, you know, get it off on somebody. No, we, this is our fault. We have done all this, we have sinned, and have done, we have done wickedly. Mm-hmm.
Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant.
Yes.
And his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary,
yes,
which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear, open your eyes and see our desolations, and the city which is called by your name.
Mm-hmm.
For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies.
Wow, there you go. We aren't coming here and asking you to straighten us up because we're doing right. No, we're the ones that's been messing everything up. But we're coming, we're asking you to forgive us. And see, a lot of times we can go before God and act like stuff isn't our fault and that he needs to straighten it out.
Yeah.
But he's, Daniel here is making known that it is not because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercy that we're asking
and
this.
Praise God.
Yes. Okay.
O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God. For your city and your people are called by your name.
Yes.
So he's showing that, Lord, we do care somewhat about how others that hear, how they feel and how they respect you. So we're asking you partly to do this, that your name might not be despised in other places that hear about you. Okay, now we come to one of my favorite portions of scripture in the book of Daniel. I already told you this is one of my favorite, the book of Daniel, one of my favorite books, but here comes one of my favorite portions of this book. And he talks about a 70-week prophecy. Okay?
Start at 20 or 24?
20.
Now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering.
So here we go again.
Gabriel's coming.
Yes. Shocking him.
Mm-hmm.
And
he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come for to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved.
Wow.
Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision.
Wow. God is making it known to him once again that in spite of all the stuff going on, all the things he's saying in his prayers and all, Daniel, I've set you apart. You are one who is greatly beloved. Okay? So therefore, consider the matter. I'm going to give you understanding what's going on and why. In other words, I've heard your prayers. And that's really something, like I said, when one man can stand like that for an entire nation, if that can be so, what do you think if a group of us can really get together,
mm-hmm,
and pray in sincerity like that for our nation?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think God would do if we would do that? Okay. So anyway, he says, now I want you to consider the matter and understand the vision. Okay?
70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy.
Okay. 70 weeks. That's interesting. Because we have to understand when it says 70 weeks there, it says in the translate, English translation is 70 weeks, but what it literally says is 70 sevens, or 70 groups of seven. Does that sound a little bit familiar anywhere where 70 sevens has been spoken about anything? Where?
Where Jesus said to we should forgive 70 times 7.
Exactly. When Peter asked, how many times should I forgive my brother? Until 3 times? And Jesus said, no. Until 7 times? And Jesus said, no. Until 70 times 7. And that relates to this prophecy. He said 70 sevens are determined for your people and for the holy city to do what?
To repent.
To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Jesus tells Peter, how many times do you forgive your brother? 70 times 7. So what is he saying? The same thing that Daniel is prophesying here, that it is given until for to the people to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins. How many times do you forgive your brother? Till he stops sinning against you. Is what Jesus was saying to Peter, until he stops.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's interesting that God would do that too.
Yes, because most people would say that he was saying that you forgive and give your brother 490 times. Nope, that's not what he's saying. He's saying until he stops. That's how many times you forgive. Wow. Okay. To bring in everlasting righteousness. To do all that you can to get along rightly with your brother. You continue to forgive. But in this situation, God is saying to the children of Israel, I'm giving you 70 times 7 or 490 years is what it's saying to finish all of this and get it right and to anoint the most holy. And that's talking about that most holy he's talking about anointing him is who?
Yeah. 70 times about, 7 talk, is weeks, isn't it?
No. It's 70 sevens, which is talking
70
about
70 times 7.
I know it says 70 weeks. But what it is literally talking about is 70 times 7, which is comes out to 490 years is what he's talking about. You have to read other scriptures
7 days,
tied in with it to understand that, because that's when Jesus came. 62 is, well, as we get down to it, we see it in a minute, that Messiah will come, okay? So that's why he says in the next passage, but he says, so you're getting that time to anoint the most holy, to seal up the vision and prophecy, to anoint the most holy. And the most holy is?
Jesus.
Okay, that's talking about to anoint Jesus as the Messiah. So it wasn't 70 weeks later that Jesus came. It was 70 times 7, 70 years, which was 490 years before, right before that Jesus came. But we'll get exactly how many it was in just a moment. Let's read on a little more. Know therefore,
and understand,
mm-hmm,
that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem,
mm-hmm,
until the Messiah, the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks.
Okay, 7 and 62. How many is that? 62 plus 7.
69.
69. And it's, again, once again, it's not talking about weeks. It's talking about times 7 years. 69 times 7 years gives you 483 years. It shall... until Messiah the Prince, that Jesus would come after the streets are built and the walls are now restored, even in troublesome times. 463 years later, Jesus will come. When the command is given forth to go and restore Jerusalem, Jesus would come 463 years later. So they all had right there exactly what to look for and to when to expect. See, we don't have exactly. We know Jesus is coming back, but we were not given a direct number of years or time when he would be coming back. They were given it, and they were to expect him to come back at that time. That's why when John came forth preaching, and when he saw Jesus, he knew that was him, because it was the exact time he was supposed to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times.
Mm-hmm.
And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off.
Oh boy.
But not for himself, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood.
Okay, so after the 463 weeks, after that, which is the 62 weeks, there's the 7 years and the 62 weeks, and after that, Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself. Jesus would be crucified, but not for anything that he had done, but for our sins. Okay? And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Okay, so you have another prince that is to come, and the people that are worshiping him will again destroy the city and the sanctuary there in Israel, and the end of it shall be a flood until the end of the war. Desolations are determined. So there's going to be a lot of trouble leading up to that time. After Jesus has been cut off, we get what we call the time of the the tribulation period. Okay, but we need to understand something. There's a tribulation period and there's a great tribulation period. So let's go ahead, next verse.
Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week.
That false prince that comes shall make a covenant with many for 1 week or for 7 years. And that's what we call the beginning of the tribulation period. But then something happens. What?
In the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering.
Okay, he will stop, because he will start the sacrifices and offerings back in the temple again. In fact, he goes to the temple claiming that he is God. And he starts the sacrifice. In fact, Israel is already getting the animals together to start sacrificing again there. And when Satan comes to start this time, when he declares himself to be the ruler of the world and starts to sacrifice and offer it again, but in the middle of the week, after 3.5 years into the tribulation period, he will cut it off, and then that is when the great tribulation will begin. So what happens then?
On the wings of the abominations,
mm-hmm,
shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate.
Okay, so that at that time, the end of the 62 weeks, then Messiah will be cut off, but not for anything that he has done. And then here comes this other prince that sets himself up in the very temple of God, declaring that he is God. and the sacrifices and all, they start all the sacrifices and all again. And in the middle of the week, 3.5 years later, he causes the sacrifices to cease. And everybody, everything has the focus is now on him. All the people have to pay money to him, have to worship him, and that will go on for a period of another 3.5 years. And that's when Jesus will come. The church will have been taken out at this time. And at the end of that 3.5 years is when Jesus brings us back and Jesus sets up his kingdom to reign for 1,000 years. And we reign with him for 1,000 years. Yeah. That sounds good to me. Mm-hmm. Pastor Roy, anything you want? Pardon?
It's called the millennial reign.
Yes, exactly. And so that's when Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. That we gotta get a, but in fact, we can look at a little bit of that in Revelation. Revelation, what chapter do I want? Yes.
If you pay attention to all the times they say days and months and weeks and all that, that's why there's people that think they can figure out when Christ is coming.
Right.
But you ain't gonna figure it out.
Nope. Nope. Jesus said even he himself didn't know.
Only remember, the Father. Remember, they have a different calendar than we do too.
They 30 days to each month, and there's 360 days a right. year, not 365.
Right.
Okay.
Second death is in
20th
chapter.
The second what?
Death.
Revelation, you talking about?
Yep.
It's a good thing some people didn't know stuff about the Bible. Okay. Yeah. Let's go ahead, beginning of verse 1.
Where?
Verse 1, chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20.
Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit. And a great chain in his hand, he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he cast him into the bottomless pit,
mm-hmm.
and shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while.
Okay, so you see here, this is when Jesus comes back with his saints. Satan is bound, is cast down, actually put into hell for 1,000 years, and we rule and reign with Jesus on earth for 1,000 years. And as Pastor Roy said, that is what is called the millennial reign. And during that time, there's no sickness. And well, the saints don't experience as far as sickness, disease, any of that kind of stuff. And long length of life will be restored. In fact, if somebody dies 100 years old, they say, oh, he was just a little baby, just a child.
So my question is, will people be able to sin during the millennial reign?
They still have will. I don't think so.
They will still be able to, okay? They will not, just my feeling on it. They'll still be able to because they'll still have their own will, but they won't be, the pressure will not be nearly as strong on them because of Satan and his demons. But they still will have, because after the 1,000-year reign, that's when the judgment comes.
No, God, at the end of the 1,000-year reign, OK, Okay, Satan is loose.
You're right, he's loose.
Satan is loose. Why is he loosed?
To try to test the people now that they have had this.
So the people who have been born during that 1,000-year reign, mm-hmm. they now can be tempted because Satan is right. loose to tempt
right.
them.
Right. Yes.
So during the millennial reign, things will be very different because there will be righteousness and godliness and mm-hmm. holiness, and Satan's not tempting the people, and so the people right. can live godly lives and so on and so forth until Satan is loose mm-hmm. to tempt those so they can choose whether they're going to serve God
exactly.
or not.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
So the 1,000-year reign is going to be an amazing place.
Yes.
Because there won't be Satan. There won't be the temptation. There will be godly living people walking in love and peace and kindness and goodness. And so what a 1,000 years. I want to be there.
Yes. Amen. Amen. And those that...
But then he's loose for a short season so that they can be tempted. Mm-hmm. And then the true judgment happens after that point.
Those that have been, and correct me if I'm wrong, those that were caught up in the rapture, though, when they
can't be tempted because yeah, they have the spiritual body.
Right.
And we're ruling and reigning with Christ.
Well, there will be no death on the part of those that were raptured out on that part. Now, right. some of those that were born during that 1,000 years, some of them will die.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they will live, they will have long life.
Sure.
You know, just like in the beginning, you know, with before Noah's day, when the life was cut right. short to 120 years. Yeah. Okay. So.
But the good thing is, we won't be once we have gone up with Christ, we will not be able to be tempted anymore.
Right.
Yes. We will be able to walk in righteousness and so on. So that's the good news for me.
If I just say this, if I am taken to heaven and see what is there,
mm-hmm.
and come back down to here to earth, and something here is able to tempt me after being taken there and seeing what is there,
mm-hmm. However, the city that's 12,000 miles square mm-hmm. is going to come down upon the earth.
Yes, that's right.
So it's going to be, that's where he's going to rule from. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a very different setting.
Yes, yep. So.
How big did you say it was?
1,000 miles. Well, basically, literally a square. I forget what it is now. But basically, it's a square, and the glory of God is going to supply the light mm-hmm. for the city.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be translucent with glorious stones,
right.
beautiful stones, and it tells all the different stones, and the gates are going to be a pearl, and all that's going to be an amazing place where God's going to rule and reign. Yeah,
right.
Amazing.
Yep.
And we get to participate with it.
Yes.
That's a cool thing.
Yes. Okay. Well, tell you what, I'd rather us just meditate on that for a bit and just pick up on chapter 10 next week. But I think we've got really a lot to think about, to pray about from chapter 9. And one of the main things as far as that I look forward to is Jesus' coming, taking us out of this, because before that great tribulation period starts. I mean, the tribulation period is going to be, I mean, the whole thing is going to be bad enough. But after that 3.5 years, and when the great tribulation starts, no, I want no part of that anymore. So. All right. Any questions? Any further comments?
People are going to be raptured when Jesus comes?
Yes, he's going to come
and
to get his church.
That'll be the great tribulation while he's here for 1,000 years.
No, that'll be the great tribulation.
Ready,
oh, followed, you said
great,
followed
sorry.
By the 1,000 years. Yes, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that great tribulation period, that's gonna be when the three prophets, the two prophets who are gonna be here are gonna come, and they're gonna preach for a season, and they're gonna be killed, and they're gonna be left laying on the street for 3 days, and then
come back alive.
Yeah, they're gonna, the world is gonna think that they have conquered God and everything God's trying to do. Then the third day they come back to life and rise up, and they will come up to heaven too. That's an interesting story. We'll hopefully, Pastor Roy is gonna take us into the book of Revelation. So we can tell us all this, because that, all that stuff is just very interesting. Okay, well.
Well, the interesting thing is when I used to read that the whole world could see them raised, that would seem impossible until we have the internet.
Exactly.
All of a sudden, you begin to realize, oh my goodness,
yes.
God knew we'd have the internet,
mm-hmm.
and we would literally be able to see
exactly.
them raised from the dead and in the street.
Mm-hmm.
So God foreknew that we were going to have internet and all.
There's
and it shows
so
about what he had said.
When you talk about all the stars falling from the sky, you know, and that being seen and all like that. Now, I don't know as far as with all the satellites that they're sending up and a lot of things, you know, going to happen with that. But there's a lot of things that are going to be seen around the world, as you said, that could not have been back then seen around the world. But now, with what we have, all the stuff that we have, we're going to be able to see things around the world at the same time. And that's how the world will be able to see Jesus coming when he comes back. The entire world will be able to see him coming back because of the technology that we have today.
Even the fact that all the world will have heard the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
It couldn't have happened without the internet. And yet, we are literally where we can reach the entire world in this generation through the internet, and that's with the internet we have now. What we have 5 years from now, as you know, we're always progressing. I mean, they can speed it up, and it can be phenomenal. So what I find cool is God knew that he was gonna have the internet, and he was gonna use it. And just tells you how amazing God is.
Amen.
The God that we serve is just an amazing God.
Amen. Okay, somebody want to give us a closing prayer?
Once again, God, I stand in awe of you.
Yes.
Who is likened unto you?
No one.
But God, I also, like Daniel, realize our nation has been very corrupt.
Yes, forgive us.
And God, we have sinned against you. We sinned against heaven, even in rejecting you.
Forgive us.
In rejecting your ways.
Yes.
And having abortion and same-sex marriages and all that stuff, God. I confess our sin, just as Daniel confessed his sin.
We have been
because
wrong.
His generation was wicked also.
Yes.
And God, I just pray that in your mercy that you will pour out your spirit one more time.
Yes, Lord.
And give us a chance. Have mercy upon us that this nation might be one nation under God.
Yes, Lord.
We declare that that's who you are to us. That you're our Lord, you're our God, you're our Savior.
Yes, Lord.
And just be with us, walk with us, talk with us. Glorify your name. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.